Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn. With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgariff.
I wish I could go by Christopher Fairbanks. Did you know that?
You wish that?
Yeah, I think it's more official and friendlier and more interesting than Chris.
Why don't you go for it?
Well, right when I got to Los Angeles, I was doing Comedy Death Ray at M-Bar,
mm-hmm.
Not to drop legitimate shows that don't exist anymore that I used to do, but I was on the bill.
Yeah.
And a guy named, so dumb, a guy named Christopher Fairbanks was in the audience, and we've since kind of become friends. He's a commercial actor and had done stuff on Comedy Central, and he's not a stand-up, but he's an actor.
Uh-huh.
That's done a lot of comedy stuff and that Hell House thing that...
Yeah. What's he look like?
He's tall. He's probably now mid-50s, tall, bald.
I thought you were going to be like, he's probably now 5'9".
He was tall at the time. He has since shrunk due to spinal bifida. No, he's very healthy in the spine, and he's a taller than me man. Not that I have animosity being a short person, but...
No, not in the least.
He said, we might have a problem because of IMDb, and I'm like, what's that? You know, I was new to the city, and we haven't had any problems, but the agreement was he could be Christopher, as he already was going by Christopher.
Right.
And I was pretty much going by Chris at the time, so I was like, well, there's...
Do you think he showed up at that show to make that agreement with you?
Yes, he was very concerned about it. And I thought, uh-oh, this guy might be weird. But he is not at all weird. He's a sweet guy. And
seems weird to me.
We always see each other at the old commercial audition places.
Oh, okay.
And he says, hey, me. And I say, hello, me also.
Every time you have to do that joke?
Well, no. I think maybe we did once. It's like looking in a mirror, and then we did that hand exercise.
Sure.
Where I followed for like a good 20 minutes, we did that.
And everyone else in the waiting area got real intimidated and went home because they're like, we can't compete with this level of comedy.
Yeah, they're like, I don't do any preparatory work. These guys must be classically trained.
This is incredible, the level of improv, the amount of yes-anding mm-hmm. that's going on between these two.
You really will let yes-and another actor if they have the same name as you.
I bet you want to. It's like saying yes to yourself.
For a long time, I wanted to do a reality show called The Chris Fairbanks Show, where it was he and I living in a house, kind of auditioning and going for things, or we would set up auditions for me. He'd probably get them already.
Yep.
And there's a fireman that was kind of a hero during 9/11. His name's Chris Fairbanks. There's also a bodybuilder who's very, very big.
Really?
And on the competitive bodybuilding circuit, his name's Chris Fairbanks.
Whoa.
And I thought, there's even a hockey player. Yeah, there's just different Chris Fairbanks is living in a house. That's all we have in common.
I like that idea a lot.
And it's the Chris Fairbanks Show.
That's great.
Yeah.
This is the official copyright of that idea.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to steal this idea or anything like it, anything similar, your name, blank show, with
right.
all your name, people in house,
right.
we will come after you hard. We will sue you. Everyone in my family is a litigator.
And it is time stamped on this SoundCloud file.
and all throughout the internet, which is the new post office, which is the old copyright system.
Exactly. This podcast is pretty much like the pages and pages of a signed document. So don't try and fuck with me.
I am also a notary.
You're still no paralegal nor notary, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's my passion. So please don't step to any of that kind of paperwork that I'm willing to do with my stamp.
Do you still just do you just go around with your paper raising stamp?
My raised up stamp. I love to go around to schools and to hospitals with my paper raising stamp and just notarize things pro bono is what we call it in the business.
Yes.
Just to raise the spirits of citizens, good citizens, not bad ones.
Well, usually the bad ones aren't worried about any proving. They're not doing any paperwork.
No, that's right. They issue it.
The only stamp they get is parole denied.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. It's funny. I needed a notary once for when I was a young adult, and I was trying to find one. My mom was helping me find one, and then all of a sudden she goes, "Oh wait, yeah, I forgot. I'm a notary." So I had to ride my bike to her work, and she stamped it. It was just a couple days there where it wasn't. We had forgotten that.
She a little bit of a comic genius, your mom.
Yeah. She has to be. There's no way that was an accident. There's no way the time I went to school with a bag lunch and took a bite of a cat food sandwich, that wasn't a joke. Because it was a slow burn. I came home, I saw the cat was eating deviled ham for human consumption. And I'm like, "Mom, you're so funny." And she's like, "What? I had no idea. I was feeding the cat at the same time." I think she was actually yelling at this point. So, yeah, that's comic. You know, people thought Andy Kaufman was serious when he was wrestling women. You know, that was all a big joke.
Yeah, your mom...
He just committed. She committed to a joke.
She was like one of the original pranksters.
I hope that this whole Alzheimer's thing is one big long joke.
That'd be amazing.
I went, hey, Mom. Gotcha, 10 years of comedy.
Oh, fuck.
Well, I know. I'm open, I'm ready to talk about stuff. I'm sorry, Karen, if I just opened that can of worms.
No, remember, that's actually a recurring dream I have, where in the dream, my mom, everyone else in the family is acting the same about my mom, but my mom is clearly not sick in any way. And I keep going, like, looking at her and being like, "Wait, what?" And like wanting to say something, but not wanting to upset anybody in the dream. Where I'm like, "Well, if you're talking to me like this, then clearly you're not that sick."
Right.
And then she'll go and like get in a car and drive away or whatever. And I'll be like, "You know what? I don't think that she has brain disease."
Right. And she's still going, driving. Uh-oh. Did anyone just see her drive away?
She drove away in a convertible, which we don't own. So she's also stealing cars.
She had someone from the DMV pretend to take her license away 8 years ago. She's still
strange.
Driving.
Mom. You are hilarious.
You are. Our moms are hilarious.
I have to say...
What am I? Chopped pepperoni? There's no girls at your party, Chris. Yeah, I know. Sorry. What am I? Chopped pepperoni? Right. She came in the room with a pizza, holding a pizza with pepperoni
for
on
real?
It. Yeah, that was hilarious.
That's and perfect timing.
Yeah.
That is very funny.
My family had good timing.
I was just going to say that my sister and I were just talking because I just got home today from the Thanksgiving week.
Right.
I was off for a week and went up to Petaluma where I'm from. And my sister and I were talking about how this is the first holiday in 10 years that wasn't either fraught with tension and stress about my mom acting weird or being unhappy or deep sadness because my mom wasn't home.
Right.
This was the first holiday where it just felt like almost regular.
What about last? Really, were nice. You there last year?
I was not. I stayed down here last year because
okay.
I had to work.
So there's a little gap.
There was a gap.
Yeah.
And then the year before was one of the first Thanksgivings where she was out of the house.
Right.
Basically gone.
So that was on everyone's mind.
Yeah, exactly. It was just, there was so much tension for years and years and years in some way. And this was the first year where it was like, it was small. It was at my dad's house. My Aunt Mary was there, who's the nun, who's hilarious and the best.
You have a hilarious nun aunt?
My Aunt Mary is a nun, and she is the best person on the planet. She is the most open-minded, carefree, positive person. She breaks all the molds of what you think a nun is like. She is hilariously funny. She's everybody's number one fan. Like, she's just so positive. And she, they have a convent that's down here in Pasadena that's very fancy. And so the Sisters of Mercy, they let it out to nuns to come and stay to do retreats and stuff. But it's, like, in the middle of a golf course. It's really fancy. Uh-huh. I've actually been there. And so she's like, well, I want to use it because, like, no one uses it. And if you don't use it, they'll end up selling it. So she's like, I'm going to do a retreat. And I said, if you come down and do a retreat in Pasadena, I will get a bunch of my friends and we'll do a comedy show for you. And she was like, I would love that. And I said, we won't swear or talk about sex or do right. anything dirty. And she was, well, I like swearing. like she just wants, she's just a fan of life. And it makes me so happy. And, like, being around her reminds me of what we're supposed to be doing. Oh, and how wow. we're supposed to be thinking. You know what I mean? She's just like, she can talk about anything. She loves, you know, I don't know. She's just great. She's just inspirational.
I want to do that show if it happens.
You'll be, but you got to watch the cursing, even sure. though she doesn't mind it.
I did a private college in somewhere up in New York somewhere. I think it was called Wells College. It was a Catholic private school with only a few thousand students.
St. Wells?
I really don't remember. But I do remember it being in a bar, which was on campus, which that threw me off because everyone was so young, it seemed like they shouldn't be in a bar.
Yeah.
And they couldn't drink, a lot of them, but it was a bar. There was whiskey.
Sure.
And it was on campus. It was so...
Catholic school, you say, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And that bar was for the priests.
Sitting... Yeah, must have been.
Yeah.
Or for faculty. But it was a full Irish pub-themed bar.
Yes.
And there was a nun sitting right up front during my show, and I was like, oh, ma'am, I don't have a lot of alternate material to cater to your... the life you've we've chosen different lives.
Yes.
And she's like, it won't bother me. And she said that, but I know that it did bother her. But then she felt obligated to sit through my whole show. It was not one of my favorite shows.
Well, God, no.
Lord Christ, no.
Christ on the cross, no.
Ugh.
You'd be so self-conscious.
I really was, yeah. But she did laugh at the exact, I knew which jokes she would like.
Yeah. Also, don't you think our sensibilities get a little bit tainted from being around other comics so much that we don't really know what a normal line is anymore?
Right.
You know, none-wise?
That's why I think it's important to go to these shitty comedy clubs on the road like I'm about to do. Because then you're reminded, like, oh, this is what the normal's like.
Yes.
And I think it's important to keep my finger on that pole. I've always thought it was important.
Yeah, because those are the people you're trying to do comedy for anyway. That's your, average audiences.
And it's, I guess that's what I'm trying to do. I don't know what I'm doing with this, but that's neither here nor there. Well, and I think I misused that phrase.
But, no, I think you're dead on. But you're not just doing that because you and April, your show on Tree TV just got picked up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, congratulations. That's, guys, I know we've been away for a while. There's at least one person on Twitter that gets real mad, which makes me laugh because her, I assume it's a girl, her avatar is Marsha Brady crying, which makes me laugh every time. She's like, no, Dinar, this week. But then the a little angry Marsha Brady goes along with it and makes me laugh.
That's for who's that? I don't know. Then I guess it's hard.
I can't remember the actual name. I think it's a girl who's in Germany or somewhere overseas.
Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. We love you and we love the fact that it makes you mad that we don't do our podcast.
I had to take a break. I had a weird couple weeks.
And Chris had a serious loss, and then he also had a serious big gain of this job. That where he's going to have a TV show on True TV. You're going to be able to watch him every week, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Starting December 29th.
Come on, you guys. This is about to go to second level, next platform.
Yeah, I'm very excited. And I'm invested in it. I'm wanting it to be a good show. And I've seen rough cuts of the first episode. And I could tell which things I'd reshot after my friend passed away. Because I do have a weird... vacancy in my eyes. It's impossible to not think about something. I had not had someone like that go away. So it was, I watched it and I'm like, oh my God, I'm like a crazy vacant person.
Yeah.
Like acting, but still being funny, but I think, but in a different, I don't know. I watched it and I'm like, well, I look weird. I look as weird as I feel.
Yeah. Well, I remember you saying something to me about that you'd been having bad sets lately because your friend had died. And I was like, why the fuck are you doing stand-up comedy? Like, don't do anything.
In the past, when a breakup or something bad had happened, it seemed like I needed stand-up and I had good shows when something bad was happening. Oh. It didn't happen that way this time.
Yeah, because it's more profound.
I was angry. Yeah, I was like angry. So I was, yeah, really just taking it out on people. And also I had a series of shows with bad audiences of actor kids heckling and being on Molly.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this kid in a man bun. I basically just yelled, how is my friend dead and you're alive?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was at the Improv. Hopefully it doesn't. They had me working there nights later, and I did.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I did, however, attack that audience as well, and I think they deserved it less. But I'm okay now. I'm feeling better. I'm trying to control my surreal anger, as Brendan Walsh calls it. And it's always on the surface. I always get upset, but I'm trying to curb it because we are only here for a little while.
True. Well, and I mean, it makes sense that you would have a big emotional reaction. Listen, anger, I relate to your, when you tell me about your anger stuff, because I have all the same things, and it's the easiest emotion to deal with. It's very clean cut. It'll come out by itself. You don't have to do a lot of, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Anger's easy. You can just barf it out.
It gets a response, too.
And it keeps people away, and it's a very effective tool. It is. There's a reason that some people are very angry.
I sometimes like to be alone, and yeah, boy, that
it works.
That helps a lot.
It's so true.
But we're at a dead end. I'll just take a left.
Okay, here, this billboard for sedated dentistry makes me crazy, because if I could have sedated dentistry, I would have it. Total sleep dentistry.
Oh, yeah.
I hate going to the dentist more than anything. More than almost everything. And every time I've gone to a dentist where I'm like, I have extreme anxiety, I had a very bad experience, da-da-da-da-da, they never give me anything.
Yeah.
I feel like this is false advertising.
I need to be sedated.com. The dot is not a dot. It's a tooth, and that tooth is snoring.
She's sleepy.
It's a tooth with Z's coming out of it. Oh.
The sleeping tooth, if only. If only.
I had a deep cleaning a couple weeks ago, and I didn't know that I was basically going in for... Anytime they're putting a needle in you several times, that to me is a surgery.
Yes.
There's blood. There was a needle.
The pain.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
It was pretty impressive how well the numbing medicine works. I mean, it was
just loud sounds.
Yeah, and afterwards, I felt like I was wearing dentures. My teeth were so clean. I would suggest it to anyone to get a deep cleaning.
Are
it
you,
was. And
you,
afterwards,
are you trying to say get my teeth
clean? I wasn't even sorry. I'm directing this exactly at you.
You'd be the one person who knows the extent of my bad breath.
They get you.
A
don't,
lot of time
you
in
don't have
together.
Bad breath.
I do try to floss.
You would love it, though. They really get in there, and, you know, where you can't go within your gums.
Well, I mean, I have had my teeth cleaned.
Had a deep cleaning, though?
Yes, because I have bad... My seizure medicine is bad for my gums,
oh,
so I have
okay.
to have deep cleanings. And it's crazy awful.
And it was worth it. It was worth it. It's very expensive. I didn't know that it would cost $800, but
ugh.
That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, hey,
worth
look.
It.
Hey, listen. Hey,
teeth
look.
Are important.
Hey, you need them. They're the only ones you got, as my dad used to love to yell at us as we brush our teeth at night.
Sometimes when I see someone and they have not given a shit about, especially when it's just one or two teeth and they seem to take care of one or two others, or maybe they just all go at different rates. I don't know. But every once in a while, someone will have a brown one. And I'm like, what are you doing? Pay that $800. But that would be rude.
Well, they probably don't have it. Or they don't have insurance, or they're scared like me.
A lot of times, it's like, It's like people that I know do have teeth. Like, or money. Like L. Ron Hubbard, a friend of mine.
He's not your real friend.
He invented I can't remember what it's called, some kind of religion. He's the old neighbor. His teeth look like peppercorns. It looks like
there's a red one and a black one.
It's a rainbow. It's like an NBC logo of teeth.
Well, he deserved those teeth, though, because he was a swindler.
He really was. I didn't really know him, of course.
I listened to a podcast today about Charles Manson. Charles Manson was into Scientology, which I think is hilarious.
Oh, wow.
I would turn.
Yeah, we're going up into some hills.
We're going up to where a lot of people who've maybe been on Castle for 5 years, we're going up into their neighborhood. Although, Christmas lights.
Yeah, ooh, that's the director of Burn Notice.
Labels ring, are you listening? Can I just tell you, this is my favorite fact that I learned at Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
My dad and my Aunt Mary. So my dad and my Aunt Mary, my Uncle Rich was the other family member, and my cousin Pete, who are father and son. So the three of them all grew up together. Obviously my dad and my Aunt Mary, because they're brother and sister. But my Uncle Rich was my dad's friend growing up, who ended up marrying his sister, my Aunt Kathleen, who's passed away.
Gotcha. I follow.
Just as great as my Aunt Mary, just the mom version as opposed to a nun.
Right.
But anyway, wonderful people. I feel lucky to be related to them. So they all started telling stories about the people in their neighborhood. And, like, they were kind of doing it for us, but mostly they were going, remember this, remember that, remember this. And it was really fun to listen to. One of my favorite is they had an uncle named Tommy Byrne. And he was super intense. And they were just kind of talking about his whole life. Because all of their relatives, my grandmother and my grandfather, both came over here on the boat from Ireland when they were, like, in their early teens. And,
Okay.
Yeah. And, so my Tommy Byrne married my grandma's sister. So he would have been my great uncle.
Okay.
And they said he was a super intense man who drank 52 cups of coffee a day. When my Aunt Mary said that, I could not stop laughing. And then I was like, it was as if they told me he built the Golden Gate Bridge. The level of pride that I felt to have a relative who used to drink 52 cups of coffee a day.
They weren't exaggerating. No, because it's 52, not 50.
52, I think it was, I was trying to do the math of, like, was that the, did they have like a 12 cup pot? I was trying to do the math of it, but it was 52.
And oh my God.
It was a very specific number. Obviously a nun, not prone to lying.
Yes.
52 cups of coffee and 4 packs of cigarettes a day.
Oh, wow.
But then he died when he was 52. So I'm not recommending
it, but
I sure do love it. It's so badass.
Yeah, it really, that is amazing to me. And I could see, if I wasn't paranoid like I am, I could see doing that because I do like my coffee.
Oh, I will drink. I mean, I've been known to drink a couple pots of coffee. And I've always felt guilty and weird and bad about it.
Especially at work. When I was working on Jamie Lee's show for that time, there was coffee right there. It's like, why not? I did stand up in that weed dispensary.
Ugh. Oh, how'd it go?
Oh, everyone was high.
Yeah.
No, it was fun. I if it's there, I will do it. And I made the mistake I don't know if it's a mistake, but I bought a coffee maker just the other day. So here we go again.
I mean,
acidic colon blow.
Acidic city. Well, also my thing is, if I drink coffee in my weird girly diet mind, I'm like, well, that's good. Then I won't eat that much.
No, but it's true. I drink a bunch of coffee and I'm like, my appetite is suppressed and it's a diuretic.
It's all the things that you want as an aspiring ballerina. But then I always forget that. So by the time I get
to lunch,
my
coffee black swan. Well, come on.
No, that was good.
Okay, thanks. I don't know which way is up anymore.
I think you do.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you do.
I'm back, baby.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Coffee black swan. But the thing I was going to say is then I do a thing where I'm like feeling great and then I fall straight off an emotional ledge where I just start shaking.
Right.
I mean, like, oh, that dog looks like Beethoven.
Move over, Beethoven. Look how big he is. Oh, man, he should have a cedar barrel around his barrel.
I mean, a full-on St. Bernard just crossed the street in front of us. You don't see that often.
That's a beautiful dog.
Hi. But yeah, anyway, just, it's almost like, you have to ingest much more, but there's a real cocaine parallel, in my opinion, because once I fall off and then I'm, like, shaking, and by the time I get to lunch, I kind of want to cry a little bit, and I can't breathe, and, you know, it's fun.
Yeah, it used to, like, get me so, not jittery, but just what coffee's supposed to do, make you alert and motivated, and like, hey, I'm ready to start my day. It doesn't do that. I can have 4 cups of coffee and take a nap, but I do suddenly... There's this thing where I might pick up a rifle and go to a clock tower. Yes. All of a sudden, it's just straight to I'm frenetic. Like, what am I doing with my life? Craziness. So I've weaned myself off coffee, but not now. Well, my little pot only makes 5 cups, so I purposefully.
So you just need to make 10 pots, and you're right on Tommy Byrne level.
I'm gonna make sure I only do 1 little pot a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say, I definitely love the ritual. I love going to Starbucks for any reason. I love it. I don't know. That it makes me feel like I have a very specific portion of my identity that I've figured out.
I know.
Drink black coffee. What am I, a sniper in World War II? Maybe. You don't fucking know me.
What am I, George W. Bush? He was famous for drinking black coffee.
Is that true?
That's what I heard.
He was a cheerleader.
I know.
He's not. We usually don't have that kind in our black coffee club.
That's the one thing he did that I actually was enamored of.
Cheerleading?
The human pyramid. Yeah, he was so good at it. He'd just crawl up there on those people like a little squirrel. Get up top, proud of the Baylor Bears or whoever he...
Wait, I don't think he went to Baylor, did he?
I don't know.
Was he really on the top?
I think he was, yeah. He was a little wiry, spry little guy.
Yeah, he was like, little.
He's the kind of guy that they used to send into foxholes if he didn't dodge all the wars.
Yeah, he would have gone in.
Yeah, but he had that bum leg. Oh, my God, that's the other thing. I have to get a fake hip, Karen.
You do?
Yeah.
Did you find out for sure?
Yeah, I went and showed me an x-ray, and he said, yeah, ouch, you need a fake hip. Look at that. See where your bones are touching. I'm like,
oh, that's very bad.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. But I thought you're just trying to get that sweet, sweet hip replacement money. But he did follow it up with, you're too young, though. Let's do it later. There's going to be advancements in the next 5 years. I mean, apparently soon and then Germany, they will like poke holes in the top of your bone and the marrow will grow out of the bone and create a
new.
Like, there's things that they can do. And I'm amazed that... I thought he'd just say, yeah, we'll shoot a laser in there. Coat it with, you know, your thing. I don't...
Titanium, you mean like a Wolverine style?
I just know...
Just shoot some shit into your bones?
That's what they used to do. No, they hammer a titanium rod where you're in the middle of your bone, replacing the marrow, and then your bone grows into it, I guess. But that's what they did 20 years ago. I'm surprised that that's still the going model. I'm like, and it's still only lasts 10, 15 years, so.
Yeah, because my dad's had 2.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. So I'm going to, I mean, I'll do it if I need to. I'm going to get a second opinion, but I'm just going to go to a physical therapist and see if, and I can get back the mobility, because when he's pointing at the bone, it didn't seem that different from the other side. He said, see how it's like a melted ice cream cone? It's a growth thing. He said when I was a kid, I grew a lot and my bone's weird. It had nothing to do with what I thought this whole time, like skateboarding and stuff. Yeah.
Well, you were just making up reasons, right?
I guess. I just pointing at the things that I thought made the most sense because I used to get injured a lot. I thought maybe I did something to it, but he said...
You thought maybe God hated you?
I know it's a gift from God. It's God's one that made me have this growth spurt when I was 11 that made my top of my femur like a melted ice cream cone. That's because it's off kilter, I guess.
Oh, I see.
And there's drips of bone coming down and chocolate chips.
I was going to say, because you know. But the way, I don't know, the way you said and.
The only
reason. It was like you were doing a comic impression.
Chocolate chips. But he said, did you have a lot of pain when you were like 11? Shin splints and hip pain? And I'm like, shit, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I was always complaining about my legs hurting.
He said, and your parents are like, enough already.
Oh, yeah, I never told him. I broke my arm and didn't tell him for months, and then I went in for my braces, and they said, you have a broken arm.
What?
Yeah, some kid, and I don't mean to get racial, he was a Native American kid. He pushed me off. That's
Well, then you deserved it.
The point, no, I was touching his braids. I thought they were neat. I'm like, how do you do this? Someone got really mad that I was touching his long hair.
I'm on his side 100%.
I was being nice. I was complimenting his. I was trying to bridge gaps. I love Native Americans.
Wait, how?
It was Kiwanis Camp. Why? It's a Native name. And he pushed me off the fucking fort.
Yeah, he didn't want you on his shit.
He was known for violence and hurting people.
So you thought you'd go right up?
He used to walk around Southgate Mall with a chain. He'd hit people with a chain.
And that's the one you picked to touch his braid, Chris?
I was trying to become friends with him. I don't know. I did the wrong thing.
I hope you learned.
Wow.
But
I learned I don't fly.
But why would you not tell your parents? Because you felt bad?
I thought it would be expensive. I thought that it would just go away. I also thought it's not painful enough to be that much of a problem.
It wasn't that painful?
Honestly, no. It was sore. My arm was sore, I'm like, wow, it still hurts after a month. And I started talking about it at that point.
Okay, good.
But it had already healed. So.
What if you were one of those weird children that doesn't feel pain?
I'd like to think I have special powers, but it would have come up again in my life, I think. Or like during the tooth cleaning, I probably wouldn't have been like, can you give me more of what's in that syringe? Because I do not want this to be uncomfortable.
Have you ever seen the needle the dentists so expertly hide from you before they put it in your mouth?
Oh, no, she pretty much fucking showed it to me, and
no,
it was horrifying.
It's so big.
Big, really big and long.
Crazy. Oh, I think we've talked about that on this podcast before, because remember Eddie Pepitone said he was going to get me one as a present? I just remembered. But that's one of the scariest things of all time is the lady did it wrong. I had the same dentist all of my life, and I remember I was like 22, and Dr. Brown retired. God bless you, Dr. Brown. I think he's passed away since. He was the best dentist of all time, and he was onto my eating disorder long before anybody else was.
What? Because he could tell from your teeth?
Yep. He could tell the backs of my teeth were ground down.
Oh, wow.
And,
Turn around.
You can go straight, though.
Oh, I'm already.
Okay. But one day, his dental hygienist, who was also lovely, and won the lottery, which is one of my favorite stories of local success. She won like $250,000 in the lottery.
Really? People do that, I guess.
I guess. I mean, she's, you know, in all my years, she's the one person I've heard that's done that. But she kind of brought it out from behind her back too soon while I was still, they didn't have my head tipped back far enough, I think. Anyhow, looked like a cartoon needle. It was so terrible.
That sounds awful. You know who else won the lottery?
Who?
This comic. He was like a Southern Cajun guy, John Morgan. He made Martha Kelly cry once.
Why?
Because after her set, we were in Austin, and it was a particularly redneck night, and after her set, he went up and said, everybody take your hand and just wipe your brow, because that is finally over. Or what he like said. She is my friend. I'm like, I'm going to fight this old shit.
Yeah.
But he was on the road. He had won like $1 million in the lottery.
Whoa.
Or his wife did or something. And he was just on the road not needing. And at the end, his closer was singing the national anthem. And he said, I don't even like to. He said the N-word of. He said towel heads a couple times in his act. It was right after 9/11. But people were scared, you know. It was around the time that
they were scared to do good comedy.
Yeah, or just people got scared and became weirdos, like Dennis Miller. You know, people just went crazy.
I actually have a theory. I think Dennis Miller is being paid. I think he's being paid by the right, because nobody is overtly right wing and actually funny. And
yeah.
I think they thought he would be their guy.
Right.
I swear to God, because it doesn't make sense. He was so. Not that way so long.
Yeah, it's just all part of his Fox contract. Like when he did football, it's like, well, even though it's Fox Sports, you still have to have the Fox News
mentality.
We're just going to. And then they pull out a syringe and.
And fill him with hatred and.
But Dennis Miller, his brother, who's from Minneapolis and used to book me and my pals.
Jimmy Miller?
Jimmy Miller's his brother. Dennis Miller's his brother.
No, Dennis Miller's him.
Dennis Miller
is the comic.
Yes. And Rich Miller is his brother, okay. And so is Jimmy. Rich is a comedy booker. And he said, yeah, I don't understand my brother. He went off the deep end. We don't talk much.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, so it was like a real person thing, not just a... Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah.
And then, it doesn't... It's okay. Everything's
whatever.
Okay.
We're also sad and lost.
We are sad and lost. But, I have to say, because my friend Andy used to work in Rich's office, and my friend Andy, just 10 days after I lost my friend Zach, my friend Andy passed on Thanksgiving, so I'm like,
yeah, that's
I'm
sucked.
Going
I'm so
crazy.
Sorry.
I'm yeah. going, yeah, he's such a sweet, awesome.
What I liked was seeing, I never knew Andy Ritchie, but seeing so many people on Twitter talking about him and retweeting his tweets and just talking about how he was the nicest person in the world.
I hope that on whatever energy gas level that humans float around, he can still check Twitter and see that. I was thinking that was Zach, too. All the stories about him. Because in the end, my friend Zach thought, well, no one looks up to me anymore. Because he had closed himself off, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder if he knows the stories. Because everyone's telling the same story that he helped shape, you know, all these young adults. He's so influential that way. My fear is that he didn't know that while it was happening or even in the end. So I'm trying to just realize that about myself or what I've done that's good. Not that I'm going anywhere anytime soon.
Well, you're going on important. To True TV, goddammit.
Yeah,
on
that's
December
right.
23rd.
The night. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You are. Here's the thing. That's the thing everybody does, though. We are built, most people, to downplay our successes and not to focus. It's like, especially the comedy, true people who are good at comedy, I believe, are also natural kind of, not the kind of people that are like great self-promoters and kind of like, well, I'm a real badass. Like the
right.
people that are like that, I don't think. Also have that kind of critical mind to be able to write.
It's very rare that they have both. Yeah,
yeah, very rare.
Sometimes, but very rare.
So I think I'm glad that you can pull out something to help yourself with in all that pain. That's exactly the best thing to do in grief, is to figure out your own lesson.
Yeah.
That's very important. And also, look, the options are, there is nothing else, or there absolutely is a fucking other plane, and if you're going there, that is what you would get. That is that kind of being able to have the, you know, shingles fall away and see life for what it is and the beauty of what it is. And, you know, they've told stories about, like, people that have had, who've passed on or whatever and had those experiences, and that's what happens. Conceptually, it's very possible that that's exactly what he knows right now. Is
yeah.
like seeing his life for what it actually was, as opposed to what was holding him down in the right. kind of sad human plane.
Yeah, maybe whatever is unleashed into your, what is that part of your endorphin or whatever that...
Yeah, that MDMA.
That MDMA. Maybe that is like, hey, this is the one time you're not going to worry and you're going to appreciate everything you've done in your life. Here's that quick slideshow that everyone brags about.
Because it's, I mean, everyone says they see that.
Yeah.
Near-death experiences, all that shit.
Yeah.
Where you actually get to, you get some fucking perspective. And
yeah.
sadly, some people get the perspective and die. But you get it.
Yeah.
That's a fact. So, yeah, it's a good idea to try to get it now, or at least try to squint to see it
right.
while you still can.
Yes, I've been trying to think about the past and think about things that have been great, and I've been doing that a lot, and I think it's important.
Well,
and it's not, it's even when you do that, because when someone dies, you also are like, oh no, I'm going to die too. You immediately make it about yourself.
Of course.
But I think you should make it about yourself in learning something or appreciating your own life. It's important. It's very important to do that, I think.
It's very important.
Yes, yes.
Well, because also that's, I mean, some people try to say that that's selfish or whatever. I mean, I think people, anything anyone does on social media about death, it infuriates me. I know. People always do it so badly. But in private, you get to make it about you.
Right.
Because that's how you can make it mean something.
Yeah, I wrote something when Zach passed on, and put it on Facebook, and I almost deleted it because I have never done that before. I've never, like, written a long emotional post thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't delete it, though, simply because that's where a lot of the people I know that knew him were all meeting and talking, and I wanted them to see it, and so I'm glad I left it. You know, there's probably other people are like, oh, brother, and I hope they just skipped over it. But yeah, it's up there with... Well, it's not... What's more annoying to me is people taking pictures of their soup. Like, oh, tis the season. It's like, your soup? Really? Your soup?
Carrot ginger is my favorite. And that's why we came here tonight, to Panera Bread.
I'm so glad they finally have the ginger emoji. And I could follow with this.
When I was still on Facebook, way back when, I haven't been on there in years, but when I was on there was a guy that I knew that did that, where it was always like, it wasn't just taking pictures of the food, but it's a way of bragging that you have money, because it's people are always taking pictures of really nice food.
Yeah.
And that's what made me mad. I was just like, basically what you're saying is you have the money to spend like $40 on an entree.
Right.
So fuck off with your 40 dumb dollars. And then I would burn $40 as a way of rebelling against the tyranny of Facebook.
I eat it.
Do you eat that money?
Yeah, yeah, just to get more specific.
Yeah.
Ball up the money. Here's your $40 meal.
Yeah.
And then I got a paper cut on my tongue.
I can eat $40 too. That's my rebellious voice.
It is. Your rebellious voice is a lot like someone that is denied the government and makes their own flag and lives in a cabin.
I need money. I don't care. I don't care. I should start doing more voices.
You should.
Voice practice.
We should both start doing impressions.
If I said it once, I said it a million times.
You've
I
heard me say
you
it.
Do Pat Morita. I want to hear it. And you need to do it.
It's important for your impressions to also be of another race, because
that's
right
gets
up
spicy.
Everyone's alley.
That's when you create that artistic tension that you're looking for in an audience.
Oh, I love pushing buttons with a group. I want to perform at a UN meeting and just
yes.
roast everybody.
Here's you, Switzerland. Go the boy, the boy. Stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just on a Muppets level. Make fun of them. Oh, city
only
buses.
Only hot whites. Only make fun of hot whites. Punch up.
Oh, excuse me. Boy, that happens. And the mic is right there near my coughing hole.
Well, that's how lobs are. They're there to catch every sound. They don't judge. It's all good to them.
I have been, coming down with something, but it never really comes. I've just been fighting it as it's coming.
Is it in the lungs?
It's fluid in the lungs. There's a lot of wheezing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. You know,
I've had that.
Fluid in your lungs is bad.
It is bad. It means that you are drowning.
Yes, basically, slowly.
Inside, yeah.
And there are some nights where it's bad, and I'm like, I'm out of breath. I need to walk around. And it's because I'm slowly drowning in my lungs.
Yeah.
Well, I should probably go to a doctor.
Do you smoke?
No.
Do you drink?
Yes.
And that has nothing to do with it. I just wanted to know. I just wanted to hear you say
you
it.
You just wanted me to finally come out with it.
Stop denying that you drink beer.
You have fluid in your lungs. Do you sometimes lie to other people?
Have you ever had an affair with a married person?
Really? That would do it? No, yeah. No. I just want to hear it from you, you scumbag.
Say it, douchebag.
Where I know where I am, but I'm trying to remember.
It will be a right.
Okay.
When you finally decide to take it.
Yes. Perhaps you could aid in knowing where that right is.
Up there, the light.
Okay, perfect.
It'll be right ahead. See? What great voices.
Oh, let me do one.
Okay.
I'm going to take me right up here.
Now let me do one.
Okay.
Oh, take a right.
That's a...
It's borderline racist, but I won't put any flair on it to make you know what country it's from.
No, I thought it was very...
Oh. Right.
I see a sensual Siamese cat.
Yes.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
Oh, now it's just racist.
Well, that time I was trying to be French, but I still wouldn't give it an accent of any kind because I don't see color.
That's why I'm not an Air Force pilot.
My friend, that's not the only thing keeping you from it.
No, it's
yeah. My friend Dawn Fraser, who's one
authority.
of my favorite and most hilarious people I've ever met, is also black. I have a black friend.
Oh, cool.
Factually, she'd say it back. This isn't a one-way thing like most of your black friends. Yes. That was me agreeing with myself that I have a black friend. Yeah. But
I also happen to be pointing at a stop or a light.
Pointing at a black
turn.
Man standing on the corner.
Yes,
just like him. And there was a girl that used to...
I gotta quit that habit.
Yes, that's the shade I'm talking about.
I'm smiling when I do it. You can't get that mad.
Our friend that used to work at the Gap with us had a shirt that said, "I don't see color." And then it had a bunch of different eyes of different people from all around the world. And my friend Dawn would... Her father was an OBGYN. She was raised very wealthy in Los Angeles. But she would put on her blackest voice, and then she would go, "You better see my color." Like, the idea of saying "I don't see color" is actually very white and offensive.
Yeah.
Of like, yeah, no, there's plenty of color. It's not about you being colorblind, dipshit.
Yeah, it's not about you ignoring everyone that isn't white.
That isn't white.
I don't see color. I also don't acknowledge or have conversations with it.
Yeah. I hope I've taught everyone a valuable lesson about race relations.
No, it is. It's very, that is.
And in closing, I have a black friend.
Why do I have lung problems?
Maybe it was getting your gums clean.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, God, it was that needle. There was something in it, a bug. My favorite is when people along those lines, they go, "I don't care if you are white, yellow, brown, or purple with green polka dots." That's like the... It's like, well, that's... Come on now. You can't make up. You're just making one up.
And also, you're just racist.
Yeah.
If that's how far you're taking it, whatever you're saying, stop talking.
Yeah.
Because you're just a weird racist that can't talk about other people in any way that's not abstract.
Yeah. You have to turn into a cartoon character.
Get out of here.
And I don't care if you're a duck who dresses like a sailor and doesn't wear pants. I love all people.
And Donald Duck.
Skunks who corner cats and trying to have sex with them.
You like rapist skunks, but you don't like green people with purple spots.
I like bald men who hunt. I like rabbits who are scared of them. I'm not racist.
Sir, I like big, huge roosters with southern accents.
All you're saying, you just watch a lot of cartoons is what you're saying. No.
No, that's not it at all.
No.
Oh, you're a child is what you're saying.
Yeah,
you're
I'm a little kid who sounds like a southern politician. I am 5 years old.
A southern gentleman of some kind.
Here's my jacket so you don't step in that puddle. A little kid, oh, that'd be great.
A kid putting his jacket down?
Yeah, just for another little girl. It'd be a cute little...
Oh, yeah. That would be a cute card if you took the picture, made it sepia toned, put it in some kind of a vineyard, made them kiss. I've always thought those little kids kissing cards are some of the creepiest things ever made.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. There's a picture of me as a kid kissing on the lips a little girl that was the daughter of the guy my dad did radio with. We were in like Astoria, Oregon, and I'm kissing this little girl on the mouth, and I always was like, I was young, and you guys all put us up to it.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's like an open mouth kiss almost.
Oh. Well, you probably didn't have
good,
you know, a good approach. Like, you didn't have a good kissing.
No, not then. Not then.
You went all loose lips with it and covered her mouth.
Yeah, once I hit about 21 years old and started kissing girls for the first time.
You tighten that shit up.
My game, yeah. Next. Oh, I've had a lot of pillow practice, pretty lady. But yeah, that always bothered me, that picture of me kissing another... Uh-oh. I don't like this.
Ooh, this is a serious accident.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Guys.
I hope this never...
This is awesome.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, boy.
This is a semi-truck.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's
versus,
no...
Oh, a huge semi-truck versus... Yeah, there was a light underneath the truck.
Yeah.
Was there a car underneath that truck?
I hope not. I don't know. Golly.
Glass and cops and there was little cones. I mean, that was serious.
Yeah. At some point, I feel like they're just showing off.
I saw a couple of accidents on the Highway 5 today. Did I already say that I spent the 9 hours in the car?
Tell me about it. Yeah, we're on camera, by the way. I hope this now is a weird time to tell you.
Filming. Because I'm wearing my pajamas. Lauren Colsingham, a past guest, and my niece.
Your hilarious niece.
One of my very favorite people.
I've heard requests for her to be returned to the podcast.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That would probably fill her with joy. She'd be so happy.
She needs to come back.
That would be great. So she and I drove down today. We got up at 7 a.m. in Petaluma, and we spent 9 hours on the 5 freeway because there was so much traffic. At certain points, we were just dead stopped.
That's a drive that shouldn't be more than 6.5, right?
Six at the most is how I usually do it. And it was 9. And every time we stopped, every place we went was packed. The lines, I mean, because it's just the busiest travel day on the Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Is that like the Black Friday for traffic?
Yep. It's Dark Brown Sunday.
Which sounds racist, but hey, I like ducks without pants.
Hey, listen, if you give me a pig in a blue jacket with no pants or underpants.
And he's holding the musket.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Well, hello, sir.
You're my new friend. Now, is that someone that would be wearing this white hood that you see on my head? It's the most confusing.
We've gone into a different area. Yeah. But anyway, why did I bring that up? Maybe because I'm tired of being in a car.
You didn't want to drive, so I'm driving.
Oh, right.
Which is why this isn't one of our better podcasts. I disagree. We're doing great.
This is strong.
This is great. It's weird that we haven't talked to the guest. We'll be right with you, Chip Pope.
Shh, quiet now.
Yeah, we always have a guest. Sometimes they just get sleepy.
Yep.
And Chip Pope is in the back sleeping. But you drove home. You maybe took a nap, and I picked you up, and you're in your pajamas. You're in your pajamas.
I'm in my pajamas. Well, I also love these slippers. I wish I could wear them in real life.
You shouldn't.
I won't.
But
I wish I could.
They'd look nice if it was like a Pendleton flannel shirt and you were chopping wood.
That's right. They look like, it looks like I should be a Big Bear with these slippers on. They're kind of like they've got an alpine sweater feel to them.
Yeah, those slippers are like the screensaver cover for the Fargo series. That's those.
Ooh, are you watching that?
Oh boy, am I. There's a guy that won't let me do it.
Okay.
I gotta.
The next one.
He's a big old jerk.
I love Fargo. I'm obsessed with it. I couldn't be happier to be watching it. And my dad is watching it, which makes me very
happy. Should I turn here? I'm sorry.
No, I would go to a next meeting.
I'll go to
one.
That.
It's so good. And then the other day on Twitter, Nick Offerman, who is playing the lawyer,
retweeted
one of my tweets.
He's so good in it. He's so sweet.
It made me so happy.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Which one did he would tell us your tweet?
It wasn't any of my writing. It really wasn't to my credit. But it's just a poem by Richard Brautigan that I love that I usually tweet about once a year that's called I Was Trying to Describe You to Someone the Other Day. And it's just this amazing... You read it on my Twitter. It's just my favorite poem.
Tweets that you continued? I've never done that.
No, someone took a picture of poem in a book. It's just... It's a still or a, you know, a picture.
Yes. A JPEG or a GIF or a GIF if you're...
But no one says GIF.
People do.
No.
Computer people do. To where I'm like, well, I guess it was never an animated GIF that, you know, the whole time I was working at Evite doing these little hockey players or whatever, animated GIFs. We all call them GIFs. Now, a TED Talk guy talking about computers will say GIF. And it's like, well, I guess.
Yeah, but I'm not a computer guy.
Right.
I'm just me.
GIF's a peanut butter. I'm sorry.
GIF.
Tech world.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
And if that's what you wanted it to be, you should have fucking said it in the beginning.
Yeah, and should have started it with a J, since that's what a GIF is.
Yes. And a GIF, a hard G. You see the GIF? That's a hard G. You have to specify.
This poem, do you have it memorized?
I do not, because it's actually quite long.
You don't want to paraphrase it.
Well, I could, but...
I challenge you to do so in your Asian cat accent.
Ooh, ew. I'll try to act like it's really philosophical.
Okay.
The poem is essentially saying, I tried to describe you to someone the other day, but I couldn't. I couldn't just say she looks like Jane Fonda but with red hair, because you don't look like Jane Fonda and you don't have red hair. Something like this. It's real talky, right?
Okay.
And then he goes, but then I thought of a movie I saw when I was about 8 or 10 or 6. It was a movie about bringing electricity to the farmers of America, and it showed them building a dam. Because it showed all the farmers working in the blackness, milking cows by lantern light and sewing and reading by lantern light. Mm-hmm. And then it showed them building a dam and putting up big poles. He goes into the description of putting up the poles.
Yeah.
And electricity coming in like a young Greek god and running along the lines and lighting up the houses of the farmers, so that when they get up early in the morning to milk the cows... they do it by light, and they finally had toasters, and they finally had radios that they could listen to, and they could finally read and sew dresses and do this all by light. And I wanted electricity to go everywhere in the country. I wanted all the farmers to have their lives brought out of the darkness. It reminded me of when I heard the Star Spangled Banner or heard President Roosevelt talking on the radio. And that's what you look like to me.
Oh, wow. So it's...
That's terribly paraphrased.
No, I'm amazed at how much you remembered.
Well, I love it. It's really... The first time I read it, it made me cry crazily hard, because that's such a more specific... thing of how you feel when you really like somebody. It's
yeah.
not that idea that when you're in love with someone, it's like, oh, you and roses and blah, blah, blah. It's
yeah.
not that. Like, when you actually really like somebody, that feeling of just that, of like light coming into darkness, and that idea of like you want that feeling of wanting everybody to feel the same way you feel and all that kind of shit. Like,
yeah.
it's such an accurate... thing. It's so beautifully accurate. And then the idea that someone would think that about you is such a romantic idea.
Yeah. I'm gonna read it.
Do it. It's on my Twitter feed.
I will, right when we're done.
The second?
Yeah.
The second we pull over?
The second you get out. But yeah, I've watched, it's funny. I watch most shows when they're done, because I'm watching the first season of Fargo also, which
yeah.
is also amazing.
It's so good.
Yeah, they're about, and I'm just, you know, I've never stolen a streaming BitTorrent or whatever.
Yeah.
Or a GIF torrent.
No.
It's the best. I'm so into it. And now I've been watching Psychic Investigations. I'm just into all this crime solving now.
Wait.
Have you watched that?
Psychic Investigations.
Yeah, it's always like a strange lady that lives in the Midwest somewhere, and she's a psychic, and she helps on these murder cases, and it's amazing.
And they really do help?
Yes.
I'm going to watch that.
They'll pick up a photo, and they're like, I'm seeing the number 287, I'm seeing a duffel bag, I'm seeing this guy with a mustache, and they're like, well, that's the guy we interviewed yesterday, and 287 is the warehouse. It just happens.
Yeah.
And it's all the cops are like skeptical guys with Wilford Brimley mustaches that they all say the same thing. Well, she helped us find one of the police dogs once. So, you know, I hesitantly let her. And then at the end, they're like, I'm a believer now in the spirit world and everything. And oddly, a lot of these people with the gift to see things are
the
also,
gift
they're,
to see it?
They have this gift. And they also believe in Jesus. a lot of them, they aren't like, you know, I was surprised to see that they're just like, I'm Christian and there's spirits everywhere. Let me talk to one. It's like, oh, man. But then there's other ones that are just like, yeah, I got these annoying voices, like the Whoopi Goldberg types.
It's, yes.
But they're reoccurring in different episodes. They've helped crimes. It's really interesting. Also, it's really scary. The reenactments actually have some of the people in them. They have them, like, act.
Oh.
But it's really interesting, and it's good. It's great. Psychic Investigators.
I'm going to watch it.
You will fall down a hole.
What? Of love?
No, you'll literally fall down a hole, and then I'll find a psychic to find out where that hole is.
Yeah, please do, because it'll be cold in there.
It's going to be, you're going to be like baby Jessica. They're going to love it when they pull you out.
Did I ever tell you about my idea? And remember, this is a copywritten idea.
Yes.
The fact that I'm saying it on a podcast.
This is proof.
The sitcom for adult baby Jessica, where the whole town worships her, and she has a bunch of money because they've never stopped giving to her. This is actually true about baby Jessica. She fell down that well when she was 2 years old, and it was one of our first major national stories that people followed day and night.
Right. I remember.
And I'm just telling the millennials at home.
No, I'm listening. Just realizing I do remember that being a story. Yeah. It was a long time ago.
So apparently they never closed down her donations bank account.
Oh.
And people have been giving to it all these years.
Oh, that's fraudulent.
No. Well, because they want to. But
wow.
But... in this article, you know, they were like, so she has over, and it was like $15,000. It wasn't anything crazy, but
yeah.
My idea is you take that and you just lie about it.
Yeah.
The way they do on Fargo and every other show.
Yeah.
And then you just pretend that baby Jessica got pulled out of that well and that whole town, no one would ever stop giving her things and loving her for surviving. And so she's just big, creepy adult baby Jessica in her own town that can do whatever she wants.
And it's and still
has
being...
a mansion that's paid for.
That's being fed and has diapers.
Yeah. No. It's just a big, immature adult.
That's what I would have tried to add in the writing room. She actually acts like a baby. What do you think?
And then I'm the person in charge going, no! Chris! Stop it! Yeah, that was my idea. And her mansion is built around the well, so the people take tours.
Oh, that's so great. And she gives the tour?
Yeah, she would give the tour if she's feeling up to it. But most of the time, she just wants to eat candy and lay around because she's just... she's just professional baby Jessica.
I love it.
But the real one in real life is nothing like that and has a family and, you know, is just like, I don't know, people keep giving me money.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Because everyone's so like, you know, that was such a crazy, upsetting, terrible, scary story that then that baby came out fine. She had a broken arm and like a bump on her head.
How long do you recall how long she was down? Like a week or something, right?
No, I think it was like 2 days.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it was a week. I mean, I could definitely be wrong. But I think it was like 72 hours. But she was jammed down into a little well. As a lonely little baby down there.
Ugh.
So maybe part of my sitcom is that she's also slightly psychotic because she was down there and imagined some things. And so she still sees them.
And you're not going to have her fight crime or anything? This is me back in the writing room. I'm sorry.
You know what? Let's get into the writing room and really hash this shit out because I think we could make it work.
Cut to us in a woodshed. There was a child. Did you just see that there's a child that I almost hit?
No.
There was a little kid next to a parked car that was right, almost touched the
mirror. Oh, I thought that was an adult. I didn't even look.
It was a tiny little person.
No.
Baby Jessica.
Baby Jessica,
get
everywhere.
Out of the road.
We have to go back and give that baby $50.
Oh, my God. There's a baby climbing that light post with no harness.
What's going... Oh, my God. This neighborhood's broken out in babies.
It's just all adventurous, extreme babies. Oh, no. That baby's bungee jumping off that van.
Oh, no. That baby's chugging a Monster Energy drink.
Oh, no. There's a baby playing electric guitar.
No, baby. Put it down. You're doing the chords wrong.
I don't know why I went there.
I liked it.
Oh, babies. I love the idea of a baby doing anything in an adult-like outfit.
Do you like... Did you ever see...
I don't want to see two babies kissing, though.
No. God, we've already decided that that's super gross.
It is.
And also, just, it is, it's like... What I want is for the camera to swing around and real quick take the picture of the creepy adults that are like, kiss her, Derek!
Yeah.
Hideous. You're the ones that should be on the picture.
Yeah, some guy in overalls with a beret.
Ew.
Come on, go in. Lean in, kids.
No overalls.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Lean in now. Oh, yeah.
Lean in real good.
Ignore the camera here. You kids pucker up all nice and wet and licorice. Oh, sorry. It went into deep character there. I'm back.
Welcome back. Gross.
Thank you.
Welcome back. We are down on Van Ellen and Victory.
I wasn't. I was off in a pair of overalls.
Yeah, you were in that pedophile's photography studio, hey, let's be honest.
He's an artist. He's eccentric.
If you see a
he
beret,
works for Hallmark.
Nothing good is happening, beret overalls competition. Mm-mm.
No, no. Unless it's the military. They, you know.
Wow. So,
yeah.
Wow.
I'm very pro-military.
Are you?
Oh, well, I don't know. I'm not anti.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah. I never said you were.
Oh.
I do feel like sometimes that our troops could get more of your support.
I've got that magnetic thing on the back of my car. I don't know what else you want.
Oh, yeah, the ribbon. Say no more. That's all we can do.
The removable ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? When are you going to take that fucking off?
Also,
because we're never not going to be at war anymore,
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Also, free Tibet.
Also,
pentagram. Isn't there a pentagram in there?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Satan's definitely represented.
Yes, yes. We must all live together in harmony. Well, I am...
so tired of being in a car.
It's okay. This one is going to have a soft ending.
Wow,
we went long.
I bet we did.
Oh,
you know what, though? We should, because... It's been 2 weeks since
we've
done one? That's nice.
We had a lot of stuff come out. It's the holidays.
Yeah. I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I did. I had a great one. I had the best food I think I have ever had. My friend Joe Prano.
Who's that?
Joe Prano does a podcast with my friend Lachlan Patterson.
Who are these people that I've never heard
of? They are comics that live by the beach, and they have a surfing podcast. And I've gone on there, and...
Is Lachlan Patterson excessively good-looking?
Yeah, he's like, model good-looking. But then, at certain angles, is really goofy-looking, so that's how he gets away with it.
How? What does he wear, a prosthetic nose?
It's just sometimes when
just
people are really handsome and have those... Like, every once in a while, you'll see a picture of Ted Danson, and he looks like Frankenstein.
Yes.
I'm not talking about Lachlan here. But Ted Danson is, to anyone, including straight men, a handsome, rugged-faced... But every once in a while, it's like, whoa, Herman Munster. What the fuck?
Yeah, because he has a tall face.
Yeah. So Lachlan is handsome in that way, where sometimes, if he manipulates his face, it is a comedic.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Now, is he kind of good-looking where he stands around with his hands on his hips a lot? Is he one of those? Like Ted Danson?
No. It's, like a brawny paper towel type good-looking?
Yeah,
that's exactly what you meant. I don't know. No, he acts, I don't know. I haven't seen what he does with his hands.
Okay, well, let's take a closer look next time. It's important.
Okay, I will.
Hands are a big deal.
I think he has them both on the mic, like this, like kind of tight to his face.
No, I mean socially, just standing around.
Oh.
Hands on hips?
Nope, long dangling arm, you know.
He sounds terrible.
They just sway in the wind.
Are you thinking of one of those blow-up guys in front of the car wash?
I thought we were talking about used cars, yeah.
That's not your friend.
Oh, okay.
Now, can Lachlan Patterson cook? Was he cooking?
He didn't. It was Joe. He lives nearby. And
the other surfer.
Yes, and a friend of mine. He's very funny, and
stand-ups and surfers that can cook. Did you have the sexiest Thanksgiving of all time?
The best. Well, they were watching football, and I was pretending to follow. But I was like, that was bad.
Can you believe it?
But the food was, they had a fried turkey that was injected with some family secret.
Uh-oh. And molestation?
No, I think it was just rice.
Okay.
It's a secret family secret. The gravy was not that gelatinous, translucent, jelly gravy that gets hard. And
yes.
This was like a dark seep into everything. Everything was the best flavor I've ever taken. It was the best.
And this was Joe's doing?
Yes, it was the best.
And is Joe good looking?
They're all, they're all, everyone there was handsome. It was a handsome, rugged group of dudes.
West
Andy
Side.
Ruther, my roommate, Nate, everyone's handsome.
Nate Craig couldn't be more good-looking.
Yeah, it was now that you think, well, you know me, all I'm doing is thinking about naked ladies all day, Karen. But
that
now,
seems almost defensive after that.
In retrospect, all I think about is P and the B.
titties, titties. That's Chris Fairbanks.
Yep, that's all I do. That's all I think. But now, in retrospect, all of those men were good-looking in a sexual way, yes.
And, but, only, it was a boys-only Thanksgiving, or did they have some lady friends?
They had lady friends there, but the lady friends were like, oh, no, our friends.
They
friend,
were mediocre?
They, no, they
That's
were.
That's the story I want to fucking hear. There was a couple fat girls there.
They
no?
Were, they, I'm
How about some girls with great senses of humor? They
did. They were.
Okay.
They did. They just left because another friend said, I'm going to have my Friendsgiving, and no one showed up, and she didn't have dishes. And so these nice girls went with some of the food to her place. So then it became dude party.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And, or were they using that as an excuse? What are we driving up to?
I have no idea.
Bus? This is like the time we found NASA.
Yeah, no one ever has driven through the mountains and stumbled upon a NASA base, but we did it.
We did it.
Episode 50-something.
This fucking podcast guarantees you those kinds of surprises.
If this isn't NASA, it's at least a place where they repair. Wait, it's a Marriott?
You know what this is? It's fucking the Burbank Airport.
Oh,
we just
for
came up
Pete's
on the backside.
Sake. Oh, yeah.
Stupid. Who cares? Although there is, they do have like a fun drive-through. They have a strip mall of only restaurants, and so they have like a drive-through Panda Express, which is like, if you just want to weigh 400 pounds all of your life, go ahead and go to a drive-thru.
It's funny. I noticed that when we dropped off Bronger that one time. It's like all restaurants that you would see. There might even be a Sonic in there. There's like all these Midwest, like just middle, of, like places where you would eat on the freeway.
Yeah, girth restaurants, I like to call them.
Yes, yes.
Girthy. When I'm feeling girthy and I just get, I know for a fact I'm not going to get invited to Sexy Thanksgiving. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go down to the drive-thru Krispy Kreme, the most unnecessary drive-thru there is.
I was going to just stay at home. I'm like, I was, you know, I was not feeling great, but I'm really glad I had Sexy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I am too. I love you. Just hearing about it.
At one point, everyone spilled wine on their shirts and they slowly took them off.
Really?
Yeah.
And
then it's like, should I put my shirt back on? And we were all agreed just with our eyes. I'm okay with it if you are. So we sat shirtless with a little bit of gravy on our bellies and watched the rest of the sporting match. I remember it like it was yesterday, but it was actually 2 days before yesterday. So maybe that's why my memory of it is so clear. But I think one of the main reasons is everyone's abs really cut into my brain deep. That was me trying to do improvised sexual comic con. What is it called?
Like a
what do you call
improvised
it?
Improvised erotic
fan fiction. Thank you, yeah. Thank you.
But it had yours had a kind of a who's that cowboy? I want to say Sam Neill, but that's
it's
the
Sam
Australian.
Elliott.
Sam
is
Elliott.
His name. Yeah,
you
yeah.
That you had a real Sam Elliott
someone
feel.
Someone posted a scene from Roadhouse the other day where he's showing a scar to Patrick Swayze's girlfriend in it. He's like, yeah, and he pulls his pants out. And he just pulls them down, and you could see his pubes, his old Sam Elliott pubes bush bursting out of his pants.
No, that can't be true.
Everyone right now, go to Google, type in Sam Elliott pubes. A video clip of what I'm talking about will pop up, and I dare you to watch it.
Now, do his pubes look like a large mustache?
I swear they aren't his pubes. They do have some gray in them, like his...
You think he had a pube stand-in?
I think he had a pubic hair stand-in. A lot of these guys do. He also had that line...
Do you think his pubes were balding?
He had, like, veiny, like, a muscular belly. So it was like that... I know Sam Elliott, all he drinks is coffee and cigarettes. He's probably... That keeps you, like, Iggy Pop...
Yeah, wiry.
Wiry, you know?
Kind of, like, tendony.
But it looked like a young guy's bush. I'm going to admit right now, Karen, I don't know where I am.
You're fine, because this is going to take us straight back up to where to where I live. This is perfection.
Well, we're doing... do you want to just wrap it up?
Yeah,
we're an hour 12 in here.
Oh, yeah.
Let's
I mean,
do it.
And I feel like if there's any topic to end on, it's Sam Elliott's pubic
stand-in. Looking good. Yeah, or it's his your pubes. Tweet us and let us know who you know, what you know about
What's
the pubes.
Your vote?
God, am I going to go to sleep? What's wrong with me? I don't know if it's Sam's pubes or someone else, some kid's pubes.
Or could
Let us
be
know.
Wearing a Merkin
Oh, Merkin. I forgot the world of Merkins.
There's, or could it be CGI? There's four choices.
A Merkin is, of course, it's a meatloaf inside a turkey. That's a Merkin. So happy Thanksgiving. And anything
everybody.
To plug, Karen?
At the Satellite on December 8th, Drennan Davis is doing his imaginary radio
show.
Oh,
yeah. I'll go watch.
Okay. I'm going to be on it. And he and I usually do some of our songs.
Yeah.
I might.
I find it amazing when he does that.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
He's very talented.
Cool.
And lots of other people do it, and he has lots of...
Cool.
It's always lots of good guests, lots of music, comedy, if you're into that. Sure. Not the bad kind, the good kind.
Cool. And I'm doing it at midnight on the 9th.
Awesome.
So that's
Does it air the 9th if you do it?
I think so. I think that is how that works. Because remember, in my experience, they're tweeting that day.
Oh, yes,
about
that's exactly
it.
Right. Yeah, so it has to be real time.
So that's that. And thank you for listening, and happy holidays. And
happy holidays, everybody.
Tell the people you like, you love them, and your mentors, thank you.
Yes. Gratitude, everybody.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYNAR! Oh,
yeah.
I'm actually driving.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.